Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, text, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Param kashtam gatam tat tat rasa jati yato chitam atapi rasa krita grid bhaktanam astuga kati. They have all attained the ultimate limit of happiness, each in his own kind of ecstatic reciprocation to the Lord. But what place is destined for the exceptional devotees of the performer of the rasa dance? Purport, commentary. Well, someone might ask, if there is a hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees in Vaikuntha, then only some of them are fully happy. Is that proper? Aren't devotees of the Supreme Lord, especially those who have attained Vaikuntha, greater than mere liberated souls? Don't they enjoy the highest happiness above that of liberation? The current verse clears this doubt. All the residents of Vaikuntha enjoy incomparable happiness, but some gradation of happiness still exists because each devotee relishes a mixture of ecstasies that make up his individual devotional mood or rasa. It is natural, therefore, that according to a devotee's sthayi bhav, the predominating mood of his ecstatic rasa, he receive a particular degree and kind of happiness. Nonetheless, each devotee thinks that his happiness is perfect and complete because it exactly suits his personality. Having acknowledged this, Mother Uttara next expresses her own doubt about the devotees of Krishna, whose spontaneous love for the Lord is greater than all others in praying. In Vaikuntha, is there a special place where those devotees can enjoy the supreme happiness they deserve? Om Gyanatmarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksurandutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Bhobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sa Padantikam Bancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siya Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Sridhar Mayapur. I traveled from Delhi and my flight was at 5:50 in the morning. And I guess we got to Mayapur about noon. So, yeah, it's probably not the best situation and setting to give a class, but I'll try to give something. Also, the system in India, which is a little bit disturbing, is when you go out of your local area, It's called roaming charges. So what would normally cost less than a dollar for an hour, you know, probably is at least 10 times that much. So let's discuss here. Jename Jaya, son of Marge Prickett, who's been listening to this wonderful narration from Jaimini Rishi, has heard the first part, which detailed Narada's search for the topmost devotee and culminated in Braj, Vrindavan, and the love of the gopis for Krishna. So the second part is Janamejaya's real deep eagerness, showing his enthusiasm and faith, which is inspiring for the teacher. I mentioned this many times, that when you teach, it takes great effort. And when you learn, it takes great effort. No one makes effort without faith. Neither the teacher makes effort without faith that the student has faith. And the student doesn't make effort unless he has faith in the teacher. And therefore, in these natural human exchanges, it's very encouraging for the teacher to see the mood of service of the student. Because when he sees the mood of service of the student, he really sees that the student wants to learn what he has to teach. And is expressing some realization and understanding, especially in bhakti, which is about service. So seeing Janame Jaya's natural enthusiasm, Janame Rishi continues to tell the story. And the story is Uttara being instructed by Maharaj Prickett on the last day of his life on the essence of the Bhagavatam, because he does not have the time to narrate the whole thing, because that takes 7 days. So he has to do it in the last half of the last day. And that's the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's 1/7 the length of the Bhagavatam, or 1/14 the length of the Bhagavatam, with all its cantos, the Bhagavatam. So Uttara, she's heard about the glories of the gopis. Now she wants to know about the place. And this is actually a very, very significant inquiry, the ultimate destination of which you're aspiring for. And the qualities of that, because it's so interrelated, consciousness and environment, especially in the spiritual world, where there is an absolute correlation. So if you want to understand about the topmost level of devotion, you have to also understand where that devotion is exhibited, what the environment is, because it reveals the nature of that love. Just as if you go into a high court judge's office, you just look around and you could tell what type of relationships are going to go on under there. They're going to be a mood. There's going to be a mood of reverence and respect. And if you go to a living room, you're going to understand what type of love is going to go on there. Familial or friendship. And, you know, if you go into a bachelor's pad, you'll understand also. So it's such a correlation. You can't separate consciousness and the place. It's just like if someone is not interested in Vrindavan, they're not interested in what happens in Vrindavan, in the mood of Vrindavan. Someone, he may be in Krishna consciousness, but he's not into Vrindavan. What does that mean? He's not into India. He's not into what is that? They're not into that mood that's manifest there, because they're interrelated. So, Uttara's question and the answer, which will be, you know, Gopa Kumar's travel through the universe in the different gradations, will tell a lot about spiritual consciousness. It's just like when you look at something from different angles, you can understand its essence. So when you look at bhakti in all the ways in which it is expressed and exhibited, it highlights it. It's the same thing. It's just like Prabhupada said, we should look at things from, study the Shastra from different angles, Shastra Vichar. And again, the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it describes Gyan. It's like an axe. It's sharpened when you hit it in different ways. So when you hit a subject in different ways, you understand it more deeply, especially if you want to get to the essence, because that's, if you're talking about bhakti and you see it in different locations, in different spheres, then you have to understand, because the form is different, it makes you understand the commonality, which is the essence. The same thing, if you look at the places and the devotion that goes on there, you'll get a core understanding about the intrinsic nature of devotion, which is manifest in so many shapes and forms. So Uttara, before she's going to explain her, you know, really, she really wants her concern. She wants to know. She's now heard from Narada that this is the topmost love. Now she wants to know, well, what is the result of that love? What is the destination of that love? Where does that love bring you? And what is that place like? So she expresses her own understanding of the importance of place by describing progressively what are the destinations of people with different consciousness. And the more elevated the consciousness, the higher the destination, the purer the destination. And then finally, she got to the destination of the people who are selfless. And when they're selfless, they live in Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means a place without any anxiety. So that's also a very significant point. When you're selfless, there's no anxiety. All anxiety is caused by material consciousness, selfishness. Or, you know, not everything is selfishness that you do for yourself. The selfishness is just, you know, but the basic concept is there. that there's a correlation between that. If you're selfish, you're in anxiety, because the cause of anxiety ultimately is a deficiency of love in the heart, which is caused by a lack of service. And a lack of service doesn't mean just a lack of service. It means a lack of the attitude of service, which is enhanced and nourished by the act of service itself. So, is there a special place? Is there a special place? They already went on to different, it's described in the Bhagavatam through these Jnana Bhaktas. Who have a sense of purity, and the Shuddha Bhaktas who become attached to chant. It's a whole gradation. But the question she wants to ask is, and there's a gradation in Vaikuntha, and she really wants to deal with this point because it could be confusing how there can be a hierarchy, a gradation of bhakti and without one being impure. And this is a legitimate question. And even that saying, it's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. So we were dealing with these verses, is there a gradation or not? And the answer is there's no hierarchy in the sense that everyone is perfect. Because everyone has a particular function of service by their nature that gives them satisfaction. But at the same sense, there's gradations of moods, although basically they're all pure. Okay, I'll go on to the next verse. I can tell you frankly that I may have to end the class early because I just may fall asleep at my place here. Because it's been such a long day. But, I probably may just end early for questions. I'll just tell one other story. Regular Sangha members, Carl and Stella now are in Vrindavan, and I met them there. And it's always nice to meet the Sangha members that I don't get to see regularly, but we have such close relationships. And Carl is a professor of English in one university in Iowa. And he could have got a job in New York City, but he wanted to raise a family. He thought that was more wholesome. So he got a job as a professor at it's not a Catholic school, but it's actually, owned by the church. It's a university, a regular university. And, people in foreign countries, they often get bad impressions of American. There's even that term, the ugly American. But not every place in America is New York or Los Angeles. There's a whole country of people living in all different circumstances. But there is an inherent piety in America. It's just a fact. People, I just say this again and again, from my own experience, people in America just believe in God. But so these girls came. Some of them were so innocent. They're volunteering for service in Food for Life. So some of them so innocent that one girl never even flew on a plane before. And one girl, they said she was so considerate, she wouldn't put her seat back in the airline because she didn't want to inconvenience the person behind her for the whole flight. So I took her and you know, I took them in this garden walk I do, and we wound up at the ashram. We wound up at this little hermitage of this person called Sridhar Vaishnav, who has a little flower gardens and makes flowers for the deities and sells them. So they saw a lot of things they never saw. And then we took them to Prem Kishore's farm. And, you know, Prem Kishore was speaking to them. He wanted to show them how the traditional culture is on the wane. So he asked him a question, and he got a surprising answer. The question he asked him, he says, how many of there's about 10, maybe 10 ladies, you know, pre-med, whatever they study, sociology, whatever, nice lady, undergraduates. He asked them, what do you, any of you girls cook? And they all raised their hands. They said, and he said, how did you learn? And all of a sudden, our moms taught us. So he was surprised because that's not the usual thing in American culture these days. Okay, let me go on to the next verse. And bear with me, Adam. I'm not sure how much I'll continue today. Okay, one second. Okay, so the question here was, in Vaikuntha, each one has attained the ultimate limit of happiness, some form of prema, and each has a different reciprocation for the Lord. And now she's really asking the question she wants to ask. What place is destined for the exceptional devotees of the performer of the Ratsa dance? Text 21, this will be the last one I can. Yesarvanara pikshena radha dasya chavapanam sankirtiyana tadrusha priyatamaya. They chant his names. And are full of unique love for him. Indifferent to everything else, they only want to become servants of Sri Radha. So what is the destination of such people? Commentary, the devotees of Sri Radha, who is the dearmost beloved of Lord Madan Gopal, are not impersonalists devoid of desires. They are fully confident that if Sri Radhika accepts them as her servant, everything they desire will be achieved and much more. The privilege of serving Sri Radha is the rarest goal of life, and it is fitting that this privilege be attainable only by executing the most excellent of sadhanas, that is to say, one can please her divine grace only by the sacrifice of purely chanting the names of Sri Rasa Rasika, the hero of the Rasa dance. In sweet voices, the servants of Sri Radha always melodiously and loudly sing Krishna's names. Such devotees are worthy to engage in such elevated service because their hearts are filled with the supreme variety of spontaneous, ecstatic love for Krishna. I'm just going to have to ask for questions now. It's been too long a day for me, but probably I can answer questions if there are. Anybody have any questions? Would anybody like to say hello? Is anybody on there?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Can you hear me? Okay,
hi, Volamia. Gail, is that you too?
Yeah.
Hi, Gail. Gail, you have some questions?
Today I'm just saying hello, Maharaj.
Yeah, you really all have to excuse me because it's almost like I'm falling asleep while I'm speaking, and I'm kind of amazed that I still said anything today. But anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hey, Henry, Hare Krishna. You did great last week. That was wonderful. I was with Carl and Stella here. It's really nice to see them and how close you are with them. Anybody else like to say hello?
Marsh, thanks for sticking it out and giving a nice class.
Thanks for continuing. I think next week, please, everyone come back. What I'll do next week is, I'll be here for a week. But, it was the day before I went to Delhi in the afternoon, then took lunch, then took a long walk, and then went to sleep, got up, went on the plane, got there, drove here, and, yeah. Okay, thanks, Mooney, for staying on. Will anybody have any questions you'd like to say, Hare Krishna? Okay, well, just excuse me for kind of ending early today, and be back next week. It'll be good, too, because I'll be here in Mayapur really deeply teaching Chaitanya Charitamrita. We get a great crowd here every day, and okay. Oh, yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. What is it there now? It's New Year's, right?
Yes, New Year's Day.
It's New Year's Day, okay, and it's okay. Well, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Okay. Heady, delay. Okay, I'll give you one realization. Hang on here, okay? While I was traveling, this may be a little bit easier. While I was traveling, out to Delhi for the first time in 3 months. Is that right? Yeah. October, November, December. 3 months in Brudge. And I came to Delhi. And I kind of had a realization, and then I re-entered Mayapur. And the realization that I had was, what is Vrindavan? It's an atmosphere with that everything is basically an object of devotion. And it's such a fact that everything has an influence on our consciousness because everything is created for a particular purpose and therefore has a certain energy which comes to you when you associate with that object. If you associate with that object intimately, which is called Sangha, it has a deeper effect. But and what to speak of people, when you develop intimate relationships with people, it develops a kind of conduit from your heart to their heart. But even objects, whatever they are, have a particular objective. And somehow or other, there's an influence. And to the extent that you associate with the object intimately, whether it's a inert object, like a computer or a cell phone or a car, or it's a an object that's not inert, people, whatever, it just has an effect on the consciousness. And I was just like reflecting, in Vrindavan, just walking from where, just seeing sadhus, seeing devotees,
seeing so many people dedicated to Krishna. Hearing, you know, the kirtans, the deities, the, you know, it just can't, there's just too much still, too many people, ex-Krishna consciousness, and too many things that are still there that are a result of the execution of Krishna consciousness, that without one conscious, without one, beyond one's effort, there is such an effect on one's consciousness. And therefore, it is important to visit these places to nourish one's spiritual life, or to be in some kind of environment, whether one makes it in his house or whatever, in the consciousness. And that's why in bhakti, sadhu sangha is everything, because whom you trust and whom you respect, you open your heart to. And a certain transference comes of that person's qualities. Actually, Sanava came to her daughter, who's in the local girls' school here, which is quite practically run. They get out of school at 4 and go back home. You know, they have to be at school at 6 in the morning. So, you know, they have sufficient association and with their parents, and it's very practically run. But, you know, I saw Jonathan's daughter so Krishna conscious. I was able to actually speak, for, she's 10 years old, and speak philosophy and see how she ends, and it was really nice to see. So, the environment is the environment on consciousness is so powerful, and of course, you know, it's not just the environment, it's also our consciousness. And when one is self-centered, even in a spiritual environment, one begins to move things and look at things around self, and one becomes covered to some extent from the effects of the Dham anyway, by one's consciousness. That's why generally, I remember when I first went away to college, and my parents dropped me off in college. I remember I was so homesick, I couldn't believe it for the first 2 or 3 days. I was in college. Of course, I went early because I was an athlete, you know, and I played soccer, and we went before the school opened, you know, for, you know, training. I remember when I was there, you know why? Because what happens is when we are in a place for a while, we organize things in that way. Nothing wrong with that if it's connected with a higher. One is situating oneself among one's needs to make one psychologically and physically integrated for a higher objective of some kind of development in consciousness. But still, the environment is organized in that way along one's desires. And in Vrindavan, it's really centered on God. What I'm saying is if you have that consciousness, you can enter in Vrindavan. And despite the intimacy of the object, look at them in a way which you weaken their potency. Because you could look at things in relationship to your own. And therefore, you know, in some sense, to live in Vrindavan, one should be a little renounced at a particular time. It may not be for everyone. But still, you look at things in a particular way, and then you move them around yourself in that way, and then you're covered from their essence, which is the energy of God and meant to be used in God's service. In Vrindavan, that principle is so overt because so much of the energy is inherently for God and so much of the energy is used for God that it's kind of a revelation, God, when you use energy, God's energy for God, then you see it in its full glory and truth as for God because that's what it is. So there is wonderment in Vrindavan, and it kind of wears on you. But still, you have to take the proper advantage of it. Okay. Thank you all. Bunch of people to just start to listen to me, the Chakrati Kanapamani.